Welcome to the Divine Wellness Academy podcast with your host, Troy Izmir. This program is based on the connection between physical health and faith-centered principles. If you take care of your body, you take care of your spirit, you will draw on God's strength to help you get in the best physical and spiritual shape of your life. Now, here is Troy Izmir.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is your host, Troy Izmir, and today's podcast is in partnership with Faith and Fitness Magazine, which can be found at faithandfitness.net. My guest today is Meg Jamelli. She's the author of The Gritty Pearl. She is a wife and mom to three crazy guys. She's a writer, accidental speaker, and a CrossFit junkie. Welcome to the show, Meg.
Thank you for having me, Troy. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I know you have an article on Faith and Fitness Magazine that's going to be out. It's called The Inner Beauty of a Woman's True Grit. We're going to be talking about that. But before we get started, I'd love for you to share one of your favorite scriptures. And why does that scripture resonate with you today?
Great. You know, I think that women are so accustomed to hearing the Proverbs 31 verses, that sometimes we just kind of dismiss it all together because we've either memorized it or we feel like we can just never add up. So the two lines that always stand out to me so strongly are from verses 25 and 26, and it just simply says this: she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. And the reason that I so love those two little tiny lines out of all the rest is it's truly a gift from God that you can get to the point where you can laugh without fear of the future, about what other people think of you, about all the pressures of the day. When you can look forward to tomorrow and experience that freedom, that He's got it. He's already been there. He knows what tomorrow will bring. When you get to that place, it is the most beautiful God relationship. And so that's my favorite.
Yeah. And I know in today's age, we are so busy, and especially, you know, moms and dads, of course, it can get overwhelming, and it's so easy to just get lost in that and forget about the joy of life and getting that strength through God.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you have a blog called The Gritty Pearl. I'd love to hear how that came about.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm a blogger by accident as well. Speaking and blogging by accident. What I really love doing is freelancing and crafting articles for, you know, people like Faith and Fitness. That's my favorite. But the blog is kind of a byproduct of that. It's just a place where I can encourage women. I counsel through my church. I run women's groups, and we do workshops and integrate emotional, physical, and spiritual topics. So blogging kind of goes hand in hand with that. But Gritty Pearl, my name is Meg. That comes from Margaret, and it actually means strong or the pearl. Okay. But the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, she seems perfect, but I'm not perfect, and I'm actually a little rough around the edges. So that's where the grit comes from.
I like that word grit. I mean, it just has an element of toughness and strength. And I know this world is not easy. And when you're a mom and raising kids and a wife and multitasking, right? I think that grit is a very powerful description. And I know in your article, you talk about the Americanized version of a Proverbs 31 woman. So tell me a little bit more about what that Americanized version is, and then we'll get into, you know, a little bit more of what the real version is in a biblical sense.
Sure. And I think not only can you differentiate between the Americanized version and other places in the world, but you can take a look at generational standards as well. For instance, we can't even buy whatever celery at the supermarket, right, without walking through the aisles, and all these faces are staring back at us. The internet changed life completely. Even myself, I'm 35 now, but growing up, I didn't have access to the internet like we do now. There wasn't the understanding of what other women were doing in other cities, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was a country girl. I wore what my parents bought for me. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends were kind of in the same situation, and there was almost a freedom in that, that we really, there was some pressure, of course. Some of us got catalogs and, you know, like 17 magazine, things like that. But it wasn't as much pressure because it was almost unattainable because where are we going to buy that stuff anyway? You know, we lived kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But so to speak generationally, our grandmothers and even our mothers, they didn't have somebody scrutinizing their every move as they were trying to parent or go into the office or whatever, perform as an athlete or, you know, help their kids through the school journey. It's just a different time. And so when we talk about even the Americanized version, what are our standards here culturally? Well, thin, attractively dressed, no wrinkles, of course, no sagging, God forbid. you can't have cellulite here in America. And if you have a baby, well, you should stay, of course, within that 20-pound swing. Don't gain any more than that, maybe 25 pounds on a good day. And you're expected to take that weight off as soon as the baby's born. And you're cooking, you're cleaning, your kids are always clean. They get the best grades. They're being applauded with awards at school. It's mind-blowing and it's endless. And so when I say Americanized, it's an unattainable image that we've constructed in the media, really and truly.
Right. So that, and I know one of the struggles is that we're never enough. And especially when you look at social media and all the things that we're bombarded with and you're comparing yourselves to that, what are the consequences of that when you feel like you're never up, never good enough, you're never going to be able to measure up to that Americanized version of the Proverbs 31 woman?
Yeah, it's interesting because they have some studies out about that, about social media and also watching television. And the more media that people consume, the more they tend to express symptoms of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I think that says it right there, that you walk away from the computer and you see everybody else's highlight reels, right, and you think, ugh, there's no way. There are not enough hours in the day and not enough energy in the world to make that happen. Right. But seeing that one small, very carefully crafted portion of that person's day, and it's a real danger. We have to constantly keep ourselves in check.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's go in the direction of just a little more real biblical version of and what that looks like. And I really like that in your article because you gave some really good ideas of a Proverbs 31 woman and how that can look in a different way. So I'd love to just kind of explore that with you. So you had five things that might be done to really help to overcome that kind of Americanized version. So let's go ahead and talk about that. And there's five. So let's go ahead and start with that first one, if we could.
Sure. So the first one is that the Proverbs 31 woman would be focusing on her overall health, strength, and energy levels instead of looking solely at her appearance or worrying about her appearance. It strikes me the difference between the culture in which the Proverbs 31 woman was living in and the culture we're living in today. I mean, she was growing food, harvesting food, preparing it at the most basic elements, like, you know, grinding the grain to make the bread. Her life was very physical. So I would imagine that all the things that we're worried about spending time on now just wasn't a reality back then. So it strikes me that she had to be strong for the job. She had to be well-nourished. She was very physical. She had to be in a good headspace that her perspective for the day was focusing on how she was serving her family and, of course, maintaining her health so that she could be the strongest form of the mother, wife, and worker that they needed. She was creative, and every time we're living in that place of depression, anxiety, and comparison, our creativity just goes out the window. So it says, you know, she was selling in the market. She was an entrepreneur. She was buying land, and her husband trusted her to do that. And so really, I think the biggest difference was her focus. What was she focused on every single morning when she woke up? What was God going to have her do? And all the rest of it, let it go.
Yeah, and I think that's great information, because we've gotten so appearance conscious and we've forgot about getting healthy from the inside out. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. And it's a battle I don't think that we can win, because we're looking at our flaws, and it's depressing. It really is.
Yeah. Can I ask, do you find that in the men's world as much as the women's? I know you're a trainer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's easy. Again, we're on social media too, and it's really easy to pop on there. And I know what has to happen to go into having that perfect 8-pack. And it's a very small snapshot, because you cannot maintain that for a very long time. And of course, that's the picture you're going to take. But what about the other time where you're not in that peak physical condition? But we think people are walking around like that all the time. So from a men's perspective, yeah, there's absolutely, and I'm trying to cut back on my Facebook time, because I'm like, you know, it's so easy to start to compare, and that's not the road that I want to go down. And I know for me, I am hard on myself, so I have really high expectations, and that makes it even harder. But putting my identity in Christ, and I think that's been really powerful for me, that I am good enough just the way I am. And I love to work out, but I've come to the point where just inside out is so much more important, and taking care of my spiritual health and my mental health and my physical health. So it's all encompassing. And I know it's a lot of guys, it's just all about the body, which I used to be all about the body, but it's not a fulfilling way to live.
Yeah. It's a great way to say that.
Yeah.
Would you like to have more energy, be in peak physical, emotional, and spiritual health, and live a life that honors God? The Divine Wellness Academy 10-week online video course is now available at troyismere.com. The Divine Wellness Academy online course is a biblically based fitness program that will help you discover the connection between your physical and spiritual health. You'll learn how to be intentional with your health, eat the way God intended, use motion as devotion, manage stress, and look, feel, and perform better than ever before. Go to troyismere.com. That's troyismire.com, and enter the promo code DIVINE in all caps to receive a 20% discount. For any questions, contact Troy at troy@troyismere.com.
So let's get into parenting a little bit. So you talk a little bit about micromanaging kids for the approval of others. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I think you struck a chord when you mentioned identity. That's such a big deal. I don't think as parents we even realize we do it. But so often we look at the successes or the struggles of our children and we take it personally. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, does our parenting, you know, guide their behaviors and some of their achievements? Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, we help them to try their best. We help them to do the best work they can possibly do when they're in the classroom or they're on the ball field. But there's a very fine line between it becoming our success and understanding that they can be proud of the job that they do because it's theirs. And so when I say she'd not be micromanaging her kids for the approval of others, I have a great example. I used to do in-home family therapy. And so these were kids that were at risk of being pulled from the home by court mandate or because they were heavily involved in the mental health system. And I had this one mother in particular years ago that she would refuse to take her child even into the grocery store because he acted crazy, right? He'd pull things off the shelves and scream in front of everybody. And I remember one day I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the store with you and we're going to do this together. And she looked at me like, why would you sign up to do that? I said, this is what we're going to do when I'll call him Johnny, right? When Johnny throws a fit, we are going to promptly step right over his wiggling body on the floor and we're going to pretend it's not even happening. Mm-hmm. Right. So we did that. And of course it didn't go well, but I think he started to understand that the rules were changing, right? And she started to drop some of that, wow, well, I'm going to look like a completely terrible mom, you know, if my kid's throwing a fit in the store. And I said, what would happen if one day he threw a fit in the middle of the store and you got right beside him and you started doing the same thing? She said, oh, I would never do that. I said, do you understand the power that comes from this behavior, right? He's getting what he needs because he knows that you will be embarrassed. Right. He knows that you are taking so seriously the success of his behavior in public that that's a trump card for him. Mm-hmm. And so we did. We acted a fool in the store, and guess what happened? I'm sure you can imagine some of his behaviors went away. And, you know, that's just one example of the power that approval and the fear of other people looking at us has on the way we're parenting, on the way that we're going about our day. And so I think it's a challenge for us when we're in the daily grind to think about doing things differently and just letting all that fall off to do what's actually best for our kids.
Yeah, and I think we get so caught up in looking for the approval of others and what are people going to say about me? What are people going to think about me? And it just creates that self-consciousness and it's not a good feeling. And if you're trying to please everybody or you're worried about what people are going to think about you, it's a very stressful way to live.
It is. Yeah. It is. And honestly, it sets our kids up to fail.
Yes.
And so they'll go through the rest of their lives trying to, you know, earn that acceptance that should be freely given. When we're believers, we understand that the love's there no matter what, whether they strike out or whether they get the award, you know, most valuable player. It doesn't matter. We love them because they just are.
Yeah. Okay. Great. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So the next one is spending time appreciating the fleeting moments of motherhood. So let's get into that a little bit. I know, you know, the time goes by really fast. They grow up so quick. My kids are 21 and 20, and it seems like just yesterday they were just newborns, and it's just like, wow, what happened? So talk to me a little bit about what that looks like and appreciating those little moments and oftentimes the crazy moments. How can we enjoy that?
Yeah, I think any mom or dad listening is probably feeling like their kids are dragging them behind their schedules right now. So I think we could actually speak to that. One of the major things that families are encountering is they're overcommitted, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And so it would probably benefit us to take a really good look at our schedules. I know that my husband and I have shaved some things off the calendar, and the kids have slowed down, and we've really been able to enjoy just hearing their random thoughts through the day. You know, we feel like we have to, if we don't get this entire list of things checked off the list for today, then somehow we're failing. But, you know, our kids can help with some of that. That's a way to look at it. They can join us in those activities that really need to be done in the household. And every once in a while, we do need to order the pizza and say, you know what? You're not getting a crazy meal that I prepared for 3 hours tonight. Instead, we're going to go outside, lay out a blanket, and we're going to enjoy this gooey, cheesy, crazy, and yes, vegetables can be on top pizza. And it's good for the soul, some of those things. So the fleeting moments, it does go so fast. And so sometimes we have to lessen our expectations in other areas of our life so that we can focus on those fleeting moments. Yeah. But that means sacrifice, right?
Right.
Right.
Not everything can be perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like the thought of just slowing down and committing to less things. And I think we have a tendency to just overpack our schedule. And I think that's kind of the for me, it's the biggest feeling of overwhelm when I know I have too many things to do and not enough time. And that's really frustrating. I think looking at scheduling and saying no to things, and there's so many opportunities now for kids that it's overwhelming. And it's, I think picking and choosing wisely is really a great thing, because there's so many extracurricular activities that when I was a kid, I didn't have the opportunities. I still had opportunities, but not like it is today.
Yeah, you're right. It's completely different. You know, my husband and I have even marveled that when we were growing up with sports, it was one season.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Baseball was in the spring. Soccer was in the fall. You know, volleyball, whatever. They all had their time and place throughout the year. But I don't know about you, but the city we live in now, all the sports overlap, and so many of them are year-round, that kids are having to choose a sport when they're 5, 6, and 7 years old. And by the time they're 10, 11, and 12, they're behind already. Can you imagine the pressure that feels like to the kids? You know, so parents are trying, they don't want their kids to feel bad. So it's just like we're running on the treadmill trying to get them involved in all these things so that they'll even have a chance by the time they hit junior high. And it's a really stressful way to live.
Yes, it sure is. Now, the next one is about, and I really like this, is just spending more time just being with your husband, your spouse. So talk a little bit about that importance of just being and nourishing that relationship.
That's hard, isn't it?
It is.
It's pretty hard. It depends on what works for the family. So, for instance, all of our family lives out of state. I have one sister in Raleigh. That's about it. So from the very beginning, when our kids were babies, we decided 7 o'clock, they're in bed. They can read. They don't have to fall asleep right away. But at 7 o'clock, the entire family knows that it's time to quiet down. It's time to settle in and get ready for bed. And now my kids are 8 and 6, but we still do the same exact thing. We have dinner. We all clean the kitchen together. We go upstairs. You know, we pray, read stories, all of that. But by 7 and maybe 7:30 at the latest, the kids know that they're on their own for quiet time. And so that one little change that we were able to make for our family pretty much gave my husband and I date night every single night. And yes, we were confined to the house or the yard, but, you know, it was quiet and we were able to focus on one another. And we'd go change into our comfortable clothes and maybe watch a movie or whatever we chose to do for that night. But simple changes to our schedule are helpful to give one-on-one time. If you can afford a sitter, that's great. I know there are some neighborhoods who have done things like childcare co-ops, where one family house a week is like the place for all the kids, and all the other parents go out. And then the next week, somebody else hosts the crazy kid night. And then, you know, the first parents have a chance to go out. So there are options if you want to get creative on ways to carve out that time, because it's not going to be given to us. It's really one of those things that has to be intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the word that I had in mind as you were sharing that story, is intentional. Because if you're not intentional, it's not going to happen. Because the kids' schedule can be overwhelming, and there's oftentimes with technology we have today, it's so easy to do work at home. So I like that word, intentional, and date night every night. I think that's great. And the babysitting idea is, I hadn't heard of that before, but that makes perfect sense. So thanks for sharing that. And the fifth one, I really like that, focusing on an audience of one instead of competing with other women. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, this one is so important. And I can speak personally, you know, I'm beginning a second career. I was home with my kids for a while. The first portion of my career was full-time counseling. I stepped away a little bit to have babies. And that in and of itself, you know, women are now being raised quite similarly to men, and that a lot of our identity is in the workplace now. And so when we're not working, what are we, right? And the mother isn't necessarily lauded as she was in generations past. So there's a lot of many identity crises that happen over the course of a woman's life. And it sets us up for failure in that we're constantly competing with the women around us. Well, if we're home, we're not working, right? So then what are we achieving? Well, if we go back to work, then we're not home. Therefore, maybe we're not a fully present mother. And so there's all these competing messages that happen. And so for number five, refusing to compete with other women and focusing on the audience of one, it's what has God gifted you with? What is He currently calling you to? Who in your life is speaking into that and helping you pray over the direction He would have you go? Mm-hmm. And so often we're isolated in all this decision making when really we need to be pulling together as a community so that we can help our friends and family members navigate these forks in the roads, all these decisions, so that first and foremost, God is being honored. Secondly, that the family is being prioritized over everything else. And third, that their gifts and talents are being used in a way that's both fulfilling personally and also understanding that that's the purpose God has them on the earth for. So, making sure, I love that scripture from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. And Eugene Peterson is a rock star. I love the way he says it in the Message. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither to the right nor the left and leave evil in the dust. I love that. Love that.
That is powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And this is a show of hope. And what words of encouragement would you like to give to women and men that are really struggling with this Americanized version of what a Proverbs 31 person, we'll say person, looks like, or woman? What would you say to them?
I would say, if you're running so fast that you don't know who you are anymore, you don't know what God has called you to, and your family is beginning to suffer the consequences, there is help. We are not meant to live this life alone. And so I would just encourage everybody listening to join a small group. Maybe it's time for counseling. Maybe it's as simple as seeking out a dietitian or maybe a personal trainer. There's hope. You do not have to continue doing what you're doing if it's not working. So I would just encourage you to have the grit to persevere, but also to take the chance to try something new, rearrange schedules, and reach out for that help that we all so desperately need, because the freedom is sweet on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think reaching out is so important, whether, like you said, a coach, a personal trainer, a counselor. So oftentimes we think, I got this, and you're going to power through. And grit is a great quality, but having somebody that you can talk to and really an encourager, I think, is really critical. So tell me, Meg, where people can find your website and the Gritty Pearl. How are they going to find out a little bit more about you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to have them. You can find me at www.meggemelli.com.
Okay, great. And again, your article is on Faith and Fitness Magazine, which can be found at faithandfitness.net. It's called The Inner Beauty of a Woman's True Grit. So, Meg, I want to really thank you for taking the time out today to share those very helpful tips on that Proverbs 31 woman.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Troy.
All right. Thanks, Meg. And I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in today to the Divine Wellness Academy podcast. I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and we'll catch you next time on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Divine Wellness Academy podcast. We're building a movement with faith and fitness, and we're just getting started. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave a helpful review on iTunes, because it really helps the podcast grow so we can impact even more people around the world who need this. This is all about being at your best in mind, body, and spirit. Go to TroyIsmir.com. That's TroyIsmir.com. To learn more about the Divine Wellness Academy, Troy Izmir is the founder of the Divine Wellness Academy and can be reached at troy@troyizmir.com. Thank you for being a faithful listener. Until we talk again, keep your spirit and your body aligned, just as God wants you to.